Sven Sundgaard, kind enough to join us. BringMeTheNews.com. Of course, he also has a great YouTube page you should be following there. We'll talk some weather with Sven today. Hi, Sven. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So a few weeks ago, you and I talked about owlets, baby owls.
Yes.
And you said that they sometimes fall out of the tree.
A lot of times, actually.
I'm out at Silver Lake Park, just north of, is it St. Anthony? Is that just north of the metro? Mm-hmm. And I'm up there, and on one of the trails, they have got a tree with two owlets who are fairly large. I sat there and watched for about 20 minutes. Neither one of them came clunking down to earth, though. But they are pretty big. It's pretty cool to see. They're big and white.
They got like big goggly eyes that kind of, yes. they do look awkward.
But awkward. So if they fall out of the tree, I mean, these things were up, I'm going to guess, 50 feet high. Yeah. If they fall out of the tree, is that it for them, or is there a way for them to get back up?
No, they don't. They can't get back up. They're pretty resilient, though. But you should talk to them at the Raptor Center, because it's actually fascinating. I've done several stories, so that's how I know what I know. But if you do find one, you're supposed to keep an eye on it. This goes with any bird. So, like, a lot of times people see a baby robin and think, oh, no, it fell out of its nest. I need to take it to the Wildlife Rehab Center. And usually you don't, because this is how a lot of birds fledge. Now, in the case of the baby owls, it's not. But it's the time of year where it's a good reminder that if you see a young robin hopping around, it'd probably be okay. Keep an eye on it, and you'll probably see its mom or dad come by and bring it worms and stuff, and they'll guard it. You know, it's in that, it's a very narrow 24-hour window where they don't quite have their wings just yet. Mm-hmm. And they will, but the parents are fierce. We've all been dive bombed from, you know, mama robins. They can be pretty fierce. So, and they'll help hide them and stuff at night and that kind of thing. But yeah, the baby owls, if you do see one, watch it for a while and see if a parent comes by. And if they don't, you should take it to the Raptor Center or call the Wildlife Rehab Center, and they can help direct it to the Raptor Center or one of those things, because they're pretty resilient. They can actually handle that fall.
Mm-hmm.
And they heal up just like, you know, baby anything heals quicker. But yeah, it's, the problem is like great horned owls, they don't make their own nests. They borrow things like squirrel nests, which are just a big pile of junk, and they're not stable. And so as the owls get bigger, or you have a windy day or a stormy day, they can fall out.
Okay. So how did owls get the impression they're intelligent? That's one. But two, okay. So I'd be a little concerned. Robins are one thing. Owls, I mean, that's starting to get up into that bears and woodbury sort of, I don't want to mess with that, because, I mean, an owl would do some damage if it got mad at you.
I don't know that the adult owls will try to attack you. I'm not sure. I've never myself found a baby owl, so that's a good question. And they're generally nocturnal, so I don't know.
Well, there's another.
But yeah, they have talons and stuff.
And they're pretty quiet, and they're large. And so I think I was like, maybe I'll just call DNR. I'll have them come on out themselves. You have another.
That's always a good thing. Or call the Wildlife Rehab Center. They're great, and they'll give you on-the-spot medical advice. Usually they'll either say, no, it's fine, leave it, or keep an eye on it, or, oh, that doesn't sound good, try to get it in a box right away and bring it here. So they're great. They're a great resource we have in the Twin Cities.
You have another bird story. This is out of Wisconsin. It's kind of hard to believe. What happened to the loons in Wisconsin? Okay, that's a loaded question. What happened to the common loon birds in Wisconsin?
That's a recall election. Wait. there were literally loons dropping out of the sky in northern Wisconsin. I think this was last week. You go to my Facebook page, I posted a link to this article. The Milwaukee Sentinel did the story. And yeah, it was, you know, just like how we get de-iced in the winter flying in a plane. Well, evidently birds, especially loons and other birds that fly pretty high to avoid predators and will fly at night, you know, during migration times, you know, a lot of birds will fly at night in order to avoid things like hawks and eagles, because they're predatory, you know, they eat a lot of other birds. And it was cold enough and moist enough where the loons were flying, where their wings got iced and they fell out of the sky. And people were finding loons like scattered around in northern Wisconsin in fields and things. And loons, if you don't know, they're great swimmers and they're great flyers, but they cannot walk. You know, they're not designed for it. So like, unlike ducks that we're more familiar with or geese, you know, we see them highly mobile on land. Loons are not. They don't have functional feet, really. So if they get stranded like that, it can be a problem. And the other thing that I was reading there too is, which I didn't know, is a loon needs like a quarter or a half of a mile of open water in order to take off. So they're like, you know, well, you're the pilot, with like some big gigantic cargo plane almost. They need a long runway for takeoff, which I didn't quite realize, but I guess it makes sense anytime I've seen a loon do that. So yeah, if they get stuck in a small pond, like they were, like what was happening, or in a field, they're in deep trouble, you know, and susceptible to predators. So people were telling them in northern Wisconsin, definitely if you see these, bring them in. And not only if you see them, they're actively telling landowners, please search your property for them and bring them into different rehab centers. But I was surprised them too. A lot of them were in okay shape. You know, they had like a broken wing or something, and they, or sort of obviously dazed and confused, and but they could patch them up. I thought, gosh, if you, so they must have not been completely dive bombing out of the air, but you know, more like a plane with its wings are iced up. You're just not going to fly well and descend. But yeah, and that's another, this could be another climate change angle, because loons and everything were moving north earlier because it was so absurdly warm.
Yes.
And in particular with them, it was so warm so early that it knocked ice out of lakes way earlier than scheduled, you know, 2 to 3 weeks early for some lakes.
Oh, yeah.
So you think a lot of those birds, oh, okay, because what they really need is open water. Once the lakes are open, a loon doesn't care what the temperature is. They just need fish. But if they're just timed at the wrong time where they're migrating like that, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, we're still going to get cold weather in mid-April, just no matter what, especially in a place like northern Wisconsin. And they're just at wrong time, wrong place, you know. And again, species have evolved to handle our climate, but not these extremes that can, you know, really knock them off course. You know, like monarch butterflies, it might be really warm spring and they move north, and then all of a sudden they get froze out. Well, then you lose a whole generation of insects. So,
yeah, watch out for the loons scattered across northern Wisconsin, people.
Yeah, if you ever see a loon on land, call a rehab center. Well, but they do say too, you'd be careful. Those beaks are spears. So.
Well, and they'll be a little upset with Aaron Rodgers wanting to leave the Packers now. And I will,
another story.
Yeah, and I will say this. You brought up the water being out early. Vermilion. That is a lake. I mean, that's a good-sized lake.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time, my family's from, you know, Virginia area up that way. Vermilion's a lake that usually doesn't ice out until May. And they were iced out, a week and a half ago?
Yeah, no, that's a lake where I, you know, just working in Duluth a couple years, in addition to keeping track of ice outs, that's a lake where it seems like, you know, 1 in 4 years, it's coming right up to the fishing opener, and they don't know if they're trying to guess which areas are open enough to fish in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is extraordinarily early. But, you know, one thing that did help us is this cold weather we had the last few weeks. Because everything was just blowing up so early, it kind of acted as like, you know, slamming on the brakes for that. Because if leaves and things on trees had been as open as they are now, even a week or two ago, a lot of leaves would have been damaged.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were looking at a warm up earlier this week. Looking back at your weather forecast, there was a hope that warm front was going to break through on the Minnesota Iowa border, come up. It never did. Is that cold air that we had in place? It just held on really for a day or two longer than we were thinking, right?
Yeah, it's just the track of the system that came through that brought us the rain eventually Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, and we last spoke last Thursday, it looked like we'd be in the 70s Monday, and then 80s in southern Minnesota. And that setup was there. It was just about 70 miles further south. Mm-hmm. So it was oh so close. Yeah, I was posting updates all day because Omaha was in the 90s. Several places in Iowa hit 90 that day. It was really warm, and 70s is close as Albert Lea, not that far to the south. But yeah, we were mostly stuck in the 40s and 50s here. Just that the track of that low just was just enough south, and with a crazy temperature gradient like that, you know, that 70 miles made a big difference. But now we're getting in on it.
Yes, we are.
It's our turn.
Lovely out there right now. As a matter of fact, I was talking with Brett earlier. It's like the flowers are really starting, even though I know exactly what you're talking about with the cold came in and kind of slowed things down to the right temperature, to where the things develop better. And now all the flowers are coming in. It's actually starting to look really nice here in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. I mean, literally the last 48 hours, you can see a difference in the trees. I know running around the lakes every day, I could see a difference in the green hue. I mean, they're literally just waiting for, like, please, can we have 2-3 consecutive sunny days? You know, because leaves are solar panels. They don't want to come out if there's no sun around. So, and we just, you know, we've had a sunny day here or there in the last few weeks, but nothing like this that we're finally in. So, yeah, 67 so far today. Tomorrow might be a few degrees cooler, but still mostly sunny. And because today actually is slightly above normal and tomorrow might be right near the target of normal, believe it or not, despite 3 of 4 weeks of April being cooler than normal, it's going to end up slightly above normal still, less than half a degree. But that tells you just how warm that first week of April was, so ridiculously warm that we could have 3 cooler than normal weeks and still come out awash, basically.
Well, and it was amazing, and something that you've talked about as well. On the first sunny day we had, I leave the station here at 6, and I mean, it was sunny out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much higher in the sun the sun is, because the sky the sun is. Yeah, we hadn't seen it. And it was just, and you can feel how bright that sun is at this point. It wants to warm things up now.
Yeah, no, the sun right now is as strong as it is in the first half of August. So that's another reminder, too. I know today seeing people, you know, walking around or running around with their shirts off for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to go over and be like, yeah, be careful. I hope it's not a long run, because we're all pretty pasty at this point in the season. And that sun is very misleading, because the temperature is not hot yet, you know, but it doesn't matter the temperatures. The sun angle is the same.
Well, I got to admit, I'm happier we're here with this right now than I saw the story out of Oklahoma and Texas. I have no idea the size of the hail that hit those houses, but there are holes punched through walls that look like it's at least a softball size. I can't even comprehend a hail getting that big and then coming at the house hard enough to where it can knock a hole through the wall.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see some of these chunks of ice, and you got to remember they're falling from thousands of feet up, too. Little thing called gravity makes those things accelerate, you know. And the new world record actually for hail was just broke not that long ago. I think maybe 5 years ago in South Dakota, beat the old record, which was in Kansas. And it was over, I don't remember the exact circumference, but it was bigger than a basketball. Gosh. I mean, that stuff that kills cattle and
kills a human.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that.
Dear Lord. The storms, I mean, you had also talked the last time on some of your weather forecasts. And once again, if you're not watching Sven's weather forecast, bringmethenews.com, as well as also the YouTube channel. You can catch them. He updates them regularly through the week. Now we are making the turn. It has been deceptively a little cooler, but now we are getting into May, and May is a stormy month here in Minnesota. We should start seeing some of these storms come through, correct?
Yeah, May, June is the peak of our severe weather season because, you know, things are heating up. As we just talked about, the sun's strong. We know that hot, humid air can get here very quickly. You know, the fact that it went from the Gulf of Mexico to Iowa in about a day. But we still have remnant cold air still. So, yeah, it is just the perfect setup. Not really seeing much in the way of severe weather for us in the near term just yet, which is good news. I know a lot of people are like, can we please just warm up and have a couple days without going right into that? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't get to pick our weather around here, obviously. But, yeah, it looks like we're going to be in the 80s Saturday for our second time this season. Remember, we did hit it once back in the first week of April.
That's right.
But it looks like we see a cool down without severe weather. The setup for late Sunday into Monday, there could be some thunder, but the dew points don't quite get here. And that's the one key component you need in addition to the dynamics of changing wind speeds and things aloft. You do need those higher dew points at least in the 50s this time of year. And it doesn't really get past the Minnesota-Iowa border. So that's some good news. We'll get some rain which is always good for the gardens and everything and all the plants that are taken off right now, but probably without the severe weather. It looks like thunder will be mainly confined to Iowa and southeastern Minnesota.
The question I brought, we were talking about this earlier on the show as well, because we've had kind of an odd spring so far. One of my favorite things every year is going to the Arboretum and seeing the flowering trees. Do you have, I know you're not necessarily a botanist per se, but do you have any idea how the weather, the slowdown when the cooler weather came, will we see a normal development at this point? Should we look at mid-May or do you think it might be earlier or later? Any idea?
I think, you know, so my brother, I'm not a botanist, that's correct. But my brother actually works at Carpenter Nature Center and runs the orchard there. So, and I asked him this question, you know, when we had those last, you know, it was in the 20s, what, just a week ago?
Yeah.
A couple mornings. And I said, is this going to affect? He's like, no, the buds are still mostly closed. It's when the buds are open or even halfway open and it gets that cold that it can be a problem. So at least apples, and they're more delicate than our native tree species, of course, should be okay. And probably ahead of schedule, just like everything else is. So it's these next couple weeks are critical that we don't get below 30 degrees, which, you know, there are some years where that happens still in the first half of May. But if we can get past the next week or two, and I don't see 20s at all or even frost. I think we've had our last frost and we're headed for, once again, one of these ridiculous 5-month growing seasons that have become the normal around here.
I have hooked up my hose. I'm taking the risk on that.
I think you're good.
So today we're in the 60s. Tomorrow, a little cooler. You're saying 80 on Saturday?
At least. It's very possible we could be in the mid-80s. We've got some very warm air moving in. Air that in June or July could equate to 90 degrees. So if it's sunny enough all day Saturday, which increasingly is looking likely, a couple days ago it looked like we might have enough clouds to keep us from maxing out on the temperature. But now it's a matter of timing out the first cool front and keeping it sunny enough, we could be in the mid-80s on Saturday pretty easily.
Right. And Sunday, is that looking, is it going to be as warm or not?
Still warm, still in the 70s, but it is going to be cloudier, and we are going to look for some showers and thunderstorms later in the day into maybe lingering into Monday. And next week will be not 70s, mostly probably 60s for us, so we'll be a little bit cooler. But keep in mind, the normal high is still in the 60s.
All
right. Normal high doesn't hit 70 until about the 9th or 10th of May.
Sven Sundgaard, once again, bringmethenews.com, the YouTube page, follow him on Facebook as well. Sven, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in a few weeks, okay?
You betcha. Enjoy that warm sunshine.